Welcome to our service. Today is St. Luke's Day. The Apostle Paul calls Luke the beloved physician, but he's also celebrated as an evangelist and an historian. Not only the gospel that bears his name, but also the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible is attributed to him. That means that Luke is the writer of the story of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the first Christians in tongues of fire. Our first hymn is a prayer that that same Spirit would fill our hearts. Come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardour glowing. O Comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestowing.
The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for St. Luke's Day. Almighty God, you called Luke the physician, whose praise is in the Gospel, to be an evangelist and physician of the soul. By the grace of the Spirit, and through the wholesome medicine of the Gospel, give your Church the same love and power to heal, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Dawr ddarlleniad o lyfr Actau, pennod 16, penillion 6 i 12. Paul yn cael gweledigaeth o ddyn o Macedonia. Teithiodd Paul a'i ffrindiau ymlaen, ar hyd cyrion Ffrygia a Galatia, gan fod yr ysbryd glân wedi ei stopio nhw rhag mynd i dalaith Asia i rannu ei neges. Dyma nhw'n cyrraedd ffin Mysia, gyda bwriad o fynd ymlaen i Bithynia. Ond dyma ysbryd glân Iesu yn ei stopio nhw rhag mynd yno hefyd. Felly, dyma nhw'n mynd drwy Mysia i lawr i ddinas Troas. Y noson honno, cafodd Paul weledigaeth. Roedd dyn o Macedonia yn sefyll o'i flaen, yn crefu arno. Tir draw i Macedonia i'n helpu ni. Felly, o ganlyniad i'r weledigaeth yma, dyma ni'n paratoi i fynd i Macedonia ar unwaith. Roeddwn ni wedi dod i'r casgliad, mae yno roedd Duw am i ni fynd i gyhoeddi'r newyddion da. Dyma ni'n hwylio o borthladd Troas a chroesi'n syth ar draws i ynydd Samoth Rake, cyn glanio yn Neapolis y diwrnod wedyn. O'r fan honno, eithyn ni mlaen i Philippi, sy'n dref Rufeinig, y ddinas fwyaf yn yr rhan honno o Macedonia. Buon ni yna am rai ddyddiau. Dyma air yr arglwydd. Diolch fo i Dduw.
The second Bible reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, but if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labourer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its peoples welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hey,
crescent, fydd gobaith cariad pyr a hedd a phob diw'n nefol fraen. Arglwyd yma fi, ar dy alwadu,
may the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Channel 4 ran again this week Princess Diana's famous interview with Martin Bashir. The blurb for the programme suggested that the interview changed the monarchy forever. I often wonder, though, whether the life and death of Princess Diana changed things in Britain as much as is often claimed. 3 years earlier, the then leader of the Labour Party, John Smith, died suddenly and tragically young, leaving the way clear for Tony Blair to sweep to power in the general election of 1997. In truth, I've always thought that the death of John Smith had a greater effect on our subsequent history than the death of Diana. These thoughts are prompted by today's feast day, the feast of St. Luke the Evangelist. In this context, the word evangelist means the writer of one of the four Gospels. But Luke is also the probable author of another book of the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles. Luke's Gospel, like the other three Gospels, tells the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Luke, like Matthew, does have some material about the early life of Jesus, as Mark and John do not. But in essence, all four Gospels deal principally with the very short period of Jesus' earthly ministry, perhaps 2 or 3 years from his baptism by John the Baptist to the events of the Passover festival at which he was crucified, perhaps about 30 AD. Luke's second book, the Acts of the Apostles, takes this story forward over the next 30 years or so, ending with the arrival of St. Paul in Rome, ahead of his death in that city about 63 AD, alongside Peter and his brother St. Andrew, all put to death by the Emperor Nero. Looking at it historically, you might argue that the greater miracle, and in some sense the greater mystery, is in those second 30 years. Jesus of Nazareth is a recognisable figure in Jewish culture from an earlier time, the challenging rabbi and prophet who sets the tiny province of Judea buzzing before being removed and extinguished by the establishment. He leaves a few battered, frightened followers to carry on his work as best they can. But the apostles who carry on that movement meet with success on what may properly be called a global scale, given the size of the then known world. All over the empire, from Rome to all points east, the Christian church by 63 AD has grown into such a threat that the Emperor Nero has its leaders executed. Or at least, it has gained so much purchase that Nero can conveniently blame its members for some of his own very obvious failings. Hence, the question about Diana and John Smith. Who had the greater effect on subsequent history? Jesus of Nazareth or the apostles who followed after him? Luke is the historian whose work poses that question for us. Luke was originally a physician by profession. Luke is called the beloved physician by St. Paul, but he's also genuinely an historian. His work holds a respectable place in the records we have of the first century AD. For example, he describes the Christian missionaries visiting many cities around the Aegean and Mediterranean, each of which tends to have its own system of local government, calling its magistrates and leaders by names particular to that place. Wherever Luke's account can be checked from other sources, it appears that he gets these names and systems right. It is generally believed that this is because he himself was part of at least of one of those missionary parties. In today's reading from Acts, we have one of the passages in the book written in the first person. "We set sail from Troas," he says, continuing with one of those little passages of local detail which he always seems to get right. Philippi is indeed a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. The missionary journeys which Acts describes from chapter 11 onwards are the missionary journeys of St. Paul, accompanied originally by Barnabas and subsequently by a somewhat larger group. The figure of St. Paul looms large in our Bibles. He is the attributed author of 13 books in the New Testament, and while there is some doubt about some of those attributions, he certainly wrote at least 8 of them. He is also very much the star of the second half of Acts, which tells the story of his 3 missionary journeys, ending with his arrival at Rome. Here is Luke, telling the story of that arrival, again in the first person. After one day, there a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found believers, and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. The believers from there, when they heard of us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. It is a lovely picture. Paul arrives in Italy a prisoner, and he and his party have just survived a very dangerous shipwreck on the island of Malta. Now, as he travels on to Rome, where he will stand trial for his life, he is welcomed by Christians first in Puteoli, and then by Christians from Rome itself, who travel out some distance from the city to greet him. We know, of course, that he had written to them. His letter to them is our epistle to the Romans, but he could not know that he would receive this wonderfully warm greeting. It tells us something of his stature and of the esteem in which it was held. It also tells us, though, that the story of Paul, along with Luke and his other companions, is only one of a number of such stories which could be told. We do not have the others, except in oral tradition. We do not know how and why Peter and Andrew travelled to Rome, whether they too were prisoners or just missionaries to that city. We do know, from this story, and from the well-known story of Nero's frightened reaction to them, that they had at least as much success as Paul in their missionary work, if not more. It is this, in a sense, that answers our question about the comparative greatness of Jesus and the apostles. If just one brilliant, charismatic figure like Paul had had extraordinary success, that might more easily be explained. But it was not just Paul. It was Peter and Andrew driving west towards Rome, the lesser-known Apollos in Greece and Corinth, the Apostle John apparently driving north into Turkey to the churches addressed in the book of Revelation. They would all have said, and their shared record of success is the greatest evidence of it, that credit for the extraordinary success and growth of the Christian church in those astonishing early decades lay not with them or any gifts that they themselves possessed in and of themselves. They were fishermen, tent makers, merchants like Lydia, tradespeople like Priscilla and Aquila, chosen apparently at random by the shore of Lake Galilee or on the road to Damascus or as Paul passed through some Mediterranean city. The gift which gave them power and which gave their ministry such compelling authority was the gift of the Holy Spirit given to them in the name of Jesus to carry on the work which he had begun. In one sense, Peter is the pattern for them all, the rock on whom Christ would build his church, and yet the one best known for his denial of Christ in the high priest's garden. As Paul himself puts it in 2 Corinthians, "I will boast of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." The apostles did not for a second believe that the work that they did achieved its success because of their own powers. It was, from first to last, the power of the Lord Jesus working within them. And it is to Luke, the beloved physician, that we owe our best knowledge of the Lord's miraculous grace. Amen.
On this feast day, we affirm our faith together.
I believe and trust in God the Father, who created all that is. I believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed humankind. I believe and trust in his Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God. I believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Still for the glory of the Lord is shining.
still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place.
And now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Richard. But we begin with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Entad, hwnnwyd yn y nefoedd, sancteddi dy enw, deled y defnos, gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyrol ni heddiw ein bar o beinoddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau o'n unna ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canu seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
An opening prayer. Creator God, we glimpse your beauty in setting sun, mountaintop, eagle's wing. We sense your power in the thunder crash, lightning flash and ocean's roar. Creator God, we praise you. Precious Jesus, we see your love stretched out upon a cruel cross. We stand in awe at your sacrifice, pure love poured out for humankind. Precious Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we see your power in our lives transformed, hearts on fire. We listen for your still, small voice, comforting, guiding, calling. Holy Spirit, we praise you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for our world, a world that is broken in disunity and where the wonderful resources you have given us are misused and where many have much and others so little. We pray for a world more in harmony with what you want in our lives. We pray for leaders of nations to be more concerned with their people than the pursuit of power and greed. We pray for the coming elections in America and hope for a clear and fair result. We pray for a united reproach amongst nations seeking to control the spread of coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our own nation with our national and local leaders seeking to find the right balance between keeping jobs and the economy moving and saving lives. The country is facing a huge challenge in attempting to control the second wave of the virus. People are facing tight restrictions on their daily lives, facing the prospect of a new lockdown with the inherent suffering and loneliness that can result from such measures. Imbue our nation with the strength, fortitude and sense of common purpose in such difficult times. We pray for people to display common sense and a determination to behave responsibly in accepting these most necessary measures. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our health service and all the dedicated staff that care for the nation. We pray for all the health workers as they come to terms with the second wave of the virus, having had to cope with the stress and pressure earlier in the year. Give them strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this new challenge. We pray also for our emergency services as they seek to maintain order in this time of crisis. Protect them as they go about their duties. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our church leaders throughout the world as they battle against oppression and intimidation in the mission of making you known. We pray for our leaders here in Newquay and Cross Inn. We pray for Matthew and Judith as they lead the church in this time of struggle with the virus and in trying to keep our churches open. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all those known to us who are ill at this time, and we hold them in our thoughts and prayers. We pray for all those who have lost a loved one and pray that they in their sorrow will know the comfort of your peace in their hearts. Finally, Lord, we pray that all of us will live in spirit and harmony and unity in the love of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
In the light of God, we are marching in the light of God, the light of God, we are marching.
Almighty God, who on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and in tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel, by the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon us and remain with us, this day and always. Amen. We have a different voice for On the Bright Side today. Jane is going to read Dorothy Parker's poem, Choice. I should say that any resemblance to husbands, real or imagined, in the poem is purely coincidental.
This is a poem from a book from the best of Dorothy Parker, who is America's wittiest woman, and it's called The Choice. He'd have given me rolling lands, houses of marble and billowing farms, pearls to trickle between my hands, smouldering rubies to circle my arms. You'd only a lilting song, only a melody, happy and high. You were sudden and swift and strong. Never a thought for another had I. He'd have given me laces rare, dresses that glimmered with frosty sheen, shining ribbons to wrap my hair, horses to draw me as fine as a queen. You'd only to whistle low, gaily I followed wherever you led. I took you, and I let him go. Somebody ought to examine my head.